Welcome to the Dome Patrol United Premier League podcast Euro review stroke preview stroke discussion about the group stages and ahead of the second round that starts tomorrow. Joining me this week, as always, is Ben. Ben, how are you doing and how are the nuptial plans for next weekend coming along?
Let's just say all hail Bukayo Saka. Let's go get that one out of the way first. Yeah, it's a week away till I get married. Well, it definitely is a week away. We didn't know what was going on, would you believe it or not, because of COVID restrictions and stuff. But no, we're cracking on ahead, and I have the full warning from my future wife that if England make it to the quarterfinals and England are playing, it would be the England game on the quarterfinals from the wedding day. But if I get caught watching it, it'd be the quickest divorce known to man. So yep. I've got to try and be a bit covert in seeing the England game if we beat the Germans.
So everybody who's listening, like Ben says, he's getting married next Saturday. And if England win on Tuesday, they will be playing their quarterfinal on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. So Ben has really not done that very well.
I think 8 o'clock's when the first dance is planned as well.
Back in 2014, when I got married, I made sure I got married in that three-week window between the end of the football season and the start of the World Cup. Okay. So I got married on May the 18th. So it was after
I planned this, James.
Finished.
I planned this. Then something called COVID happened, and we're in 2021, still playing Euro 2020. So I actually planned this to a T. There was no major sporting events going on the day of my wedding. I looked, when they were looking for a date, this is like, oh, what do you think weather-wise? I didn't give a toss about weather. I was like, what's going on? Okay, so no chance Pelicans are going to make it to the NBA playoffs, so I won't need to worry about watching an NBA Pelicans game. Not NFL season's fine. Premier League season's finished. There's no major competitions. Wimbledon, I can leave that. Yeah,
whatever. Nobody cares about tennis, mate. It's shit.
There's nothing going on. UK Open's a week after. Cool. Yeah. Crack on. And then COVID happened and it's fucked me. It's royally fucked me.
Well, somebody in there will have it streaming on their phone, mate, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll be me.
Yeah, I hope Beth doesn't listen to this, mate.
Oh, she doesn't listen to this.
Oh, right. Well, anyway, yeah, that's the wedding part of the show over with. Obviously, Ben, I mean, I'll speak to you, you know, before then, but hope everything goes really well, and you both have the best day. So
I'm hoping that we can be able to do a podcast reviewing the round of 16 games.
Well, we can do that Tuesday or Wednesday.
When is round of 16? Is England the last one on Wednesday?
Yeah, England is the last game. No, Sweden Ukraine is the last game on Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
Oh, sorry, we can do something on Wednesday.
So two games tomorrow, two games Sunday, two Monday and two Tuesday.
I don't know, I'll be quite pissed Tuesday, so it might be a good time to do it on Tuesday. That could be quite a funny podcast, well, and an emotional one, depending on the result.
We'll see what the result is as to whether we're going to record on Tuesday or not.
I think we should record come up May Tuesday, because I think it'd be hysterical.
I think it could be quite funny. Anyway, let's get through this show before we plan our next one. So, obviously, we spoke last after the second round of fixtures. So the third round of group fixtures started on Sunday with the end of Group A. Italy beat Wales 1-0 and Switzerland beat Turkey 3-1. Turkey were completely the most disappointing team of the group stages. I think we both pegged them to qualify from that group when we did our preview.
Yeah.
Italy, they beat Wales 1-0. I mean, they should have been out of sight before they scored to go 1-0 up. But then Wales missed a glorious chance with Gareth Bale 5 minutes before the end to make it 1-1. But the group finished with Italy top, Wales second, and Switzerland qualifying in third place, which we all said that Italy were going to win the group. I don't think we got any of the others right.
No. Oh, no, you said England win the group. I didn't.
You mean Italy?
No, you said England.
No, I'm talking about Group A. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I thought you meant all the group winners.
No. Group A. No. Just Group A. So,
I said Wales 0 points. And to be fair, I'm going to put it out there. Wales have been my shock of the tournament so far, of how good they've been.
They're more hungry.
Yeah, it's a shame Hungary gone out.
Yeah, we'll come to that on when we get to Group F. But no shock there. Three qualifiers from Group A. So then on Monday, we had Macedonia against Holland. It was 3-0 to Holland. Austria-Ukraine was 1-0 to Austria. So that's Group C. And then in Group B, Denmark beat Russia 4-1, which was one of my favourite games of the tournament until yesterday.
Oh, they had some cracking goals in that game as well.
And then Belgium beat Finland 2-0. So let's do Group B first. I mean, Denmark qualifying out of that group after their start and what happened in that first game was absolutely amazing. And Christiansen's goal for Denmark in that game, the shot from outside the box, was absolutely brilliant.
You know, I like that. I got to say that goal.
Yeah, we've got a saying over here in the UK, so if any US listeners are listening, we would call that a thunder bastard.
Thunder bastard.
A thunder bastard.
It's not as good, but see the goal in the MLS?
No. That goal in the MLS is one of the greatest goals I've ever seen because it hit the crossbar three times. Didn't touch the net.
I know. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Any goal that goes in off the underside of the bar is brilliant. Doesn't matter. They're brilliant.
My favourite goal, Christensen's goal was fantastic, but I don't know, I've got a thing for that Damsgaard goal, the first one.
Yeah, that was good.
He stepped out of his foot. And his kid's 20 years old as well.
But he's a centre-half. Christensen's a centre-half. They're not supposed to do
that. Yeah, I get that. No, I get that. Well, you see some centre-halves doing that occasionally.
Well, every now and again. So, I mean, obviously, Belgium won that group, which is no surprise. Denmark were second, and Russia and Finland were both eliminated. You know, obviously, Finland won their first game, but then lost the next two. Denmark qualifying was a sensational result for them after what happened them in the first round of games. Group C, obviously Holland won their group. And Ukraine and Austria both qualified, although Ukraine got through as the last third place team, I believe. They were the ones that squeaked through at the very end. And Macedonia just
move on.
Just turned up. Yeah, nothing really to say. You know, Goran Pandev, who's been playing football for 105 years, got to play in a tournament, scored a couple of goals. Netherlands, Ukraine and Austria qualified from Group C, and then Belgium and Denmark from Group B. So now on to Tuesday, which is England's group, Group D. Can we laugh at Scotland?
I think the best thing that I've seen, the meme going around of the M&M advert.
Yeah.
Scots home early.
Yeah.
Look, they had their big day out.
Congratulations to Scotland for the We Beat England 0-0 trophy last Friday. Yeah. But, yeah, you know,
day out.
Yeah, not good enough. England,
one goal.
One goal, not good enough. Pack your bags, off you go. We'll see you again in another 24 years.
But they did beat England 0-0.
But they did beat England 0-0, yeah. Don't forget that. They beat England 0-0. So,
yeah.
You know,
well, this is what independence will look like for Scotland. Just a little bit of hope and then bitter disappointment.
Yeah, we've gone political. Oh, God. So let's talk about the England game then. Obviously, Ben and I both English, so we are going to concentrate the most amount of time on that. Best performance of the tournament so far?
Yeah, I think so, especially from the first half. I thought we were fantastic in the first half. The changes we had to make because of the quarantining of Mason Mount and Ben Chilwell. I think Gareth Southgate has fluked himself a very good front three to go behind Harry Kane if he continues to play Harry Kane, well, of course he will. Grealish and Saka, first of all, Saka, absolutely burdened by glorious purpose.
Oh, God, I was waiting for that. For anybody who doesn't know, one of the ITV pundits over here made that statement in the lead up to the game. And so that's where the Loki reference comes from.
Oh, I've missed it on the live coverage. Only when you messaged me saying, oh my God, did you see Wrighty's Loki reference? And then I listened to Wrighty's podcast afterwards and they were talking about it.
I remembered me and you talking before the Scotland game. Sorry, after the Scotland game.
Yeah.
Where we discussed whether Saka would play. And I said I would be surprised if Saka plays. But he did really well. His run that set up the goal.
Yeah.
Really good. Now,
yeah.
One thing I'm going to say is Grealish played okay. I'm not understanding where everybody says he was sensational. He had a really good game. He did okay. He did better than Mason Mount and Phil Foden have done.
Yes. Yeah, I agree
Saka
with that.
Saka was the better of
the two. The thing I liked about Saka is during the beginning of the game, I was watching it with my old man. I turned around to him. I said, the problem with the Rice and Phillips in midfield is they can't play on the half turn. And I think either Southgate noticed that or Saka noticed that. And then he started dropping in, like you saw for the goal, taking that ball in the central midfield area on the half turn and driving at defenders. Mm. And that terrifies people. Running at pace at them like that, creating space and driving at players terrifies them.
Yep. No, it does. It does. And he did really well. And I hope he keeps his place.
He has to. He has to.
For the second round game.
There's talks Mason Mount might come out of quarantine early. It would be the worst news for England if he comes out of quarantine
early. He's in quarantine until Monday, isn't he?
No, they're saying he might come out on Saturday or Sunday if they can do a PCR test or something. It would be the worst news for England if he comes out and gets horseshoed into that team. Good player, Mason Mount. Good player. And I guarantee.
Well, I don't think he would take Saka's place.
I think Foden's definitely coming back in. That's the reason Foden wasn't in.
He'd take Grealish's place, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, we'll go over that when we talk about the second round.
But Saka has to. It felt weird watching. I guess I am obviously going to be slightly biased towards Bukayo Saka because of my club team is Arsenal and he plays for Arsenal. But you just can't drop the kid now. This is the Bukayo Saka we've seen all season, and he is just a joy to watch. He is not fearful of anything, and I love him. I felt like a proud like older brother watching him play for England that night. It was just Arsenal Twitter was an emotional place to be after watching him do that. Great.
Yeah, usually I'd imagine that's a fairly suicidal place to be.
It is normally, but it was like proud older sibling watching old Bukayo. And he's such a humble bloke. You saw in his interviews as well.
Yeah, he did really well, and he made a difference to England with that pace. So I think he deserves to keep his place, and I hope he does. I hope he does.
If he doesn't, Gareth Southgate, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. But, you know, end of the day, England 1-1-0, won the group, 7 points, haven't conceded a goal. First time England have ever gone through a group stage of a tournament without conceding a goal.
Also, since?
Well,
1966.
Did we not concede a goal in the... it's the first Euro... So the first time England have gone through the Euros without conceding a goal.
But the last time we went through a major competition without conceding a goal in the group was the 1966 World Cup.
Right, okay. It's coming on. All right, so England topped the group. Croatia somehow get into second place and the Czech Republic qualify as one of the third best teams. Now we come to Wednesday's games. This was an absolutely mental... So between 5 p.m. when the first game kicked off and 10 p.m. when the second game's finished,
it was
insane. Crazy.
Yeah.
So in Group E, Slovakia were beaten 5-0 by Spain. So Spain have finally showed up in the tournament.
Well, I think Dubravnik helped them there a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the most ridiculous bit of goalkeeping I've ever seen, I think. And Fabian Barthez played for United for a bit. And Taibbi and Mark Bosnich. And anyway, but yeah, so Spain actually turned up and put in a performance and put Slovakia to the sword. And then Sweden and Poland played out a very entertaining 3-2 win for Sweden. Had that have gone the other way, then Poland would have qualified as one of the third place teams. But conceding the goal in the last minute meant that Poland went out. Spain won the group despite drawing their first two games. And Sweden ended up...
No, I thought Sweden topped the group.
Sorry, you're correct. You are. Sweden scored the last-minute winner to top the group and Spain came second. So only two teams came out of Group E. And then, so for 2 hours or 2.5 hours on Wednesday night, Germany were playing Hungary and Portugal were playing France. Both games ended 2-2, but that does not tell even half the story of what happened. So obviously England winning their group means they would play the runner-up of Group F. And at various different points throughout the game, England were playing all four of the teams. So all four of the teams were in second place in the group at one stage during those games.
It was mental.
It was crazy. So we'll start with the Portugal-France game. Some very, very strange penalty decisions in that game.
Yeah. To be fair, goalkeepers get protected quite a lot. So I've seen Lloris get...
He got the ball first. He got the ball first.
I know, but it's...
So that referee... is the Spanish Mike Dean.
He's wanted to the Champions League final. Yeah,
he wanted to make it all about him. And, yeah, there was some penalties that were given that shouldn't have been, but there was also some penalties that weren't given that should have been. I mean, the only one that was a guaranteed penalty was the handball, I think.
The one that was guaranteed was the assault on Kingsley Coman from Bruno Fernandes.
Well, that's the one that wasn't given, isn't it? That is the one that wasn't given that I was talking about. Yeah, down the back of his leg.
Yeah, that was an assault.
Yeah. But, you know, the one that was given for France just before half-time, the one where it was a shoulder-to-shoulder,
Semedo on Mbappe.
Mbappe, wasn't it? The defender was just doing his job. Just not a penalty. But, yeah, so that was an insane game. And, I mean, the best thing about that game is the stat that Karim Benzema scored after 46 minutes and 44 seconds of the first half.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then in the second half, he scored after 46 minutes and 44 seconds of the second half.
Yeah, I think that's class.
Somebody's ever scored two goals at exactly the same time during the game.
That's good.
But then we came to the Germany-Hungary game, and this was just absolutely bonkers, but brilliantly bonkers. Hungary were supposed to be the whipping boys in this group, and it turned out that they did finish bottom, but that does not by any
means... Didn't deserve.
No, not at all. Not at all. They held France 1-1. You know, they held Portugal out until the 81st minute in their first game or whatever it was. And they were leading Germany 2-1 with 6 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And had that result stayed the same, Germany would have been knocked out bottom of the group and England would be playing Hungary in the second round of the... Germany, as Germany always do, found a last, you know, a late goal. Leon Goretzka scored from a deflection, typical. And Germany ended up coming second in that group. So France topped the group, Germany was second, and Portugal ended up coming through in third place as one of the best third place teams, which incidentally they did in 2016 and won the tournament.
Shock.
So yeah, Ben, your thoughts on those? Just crazy, mental evening of football. Brilliant.
It was an emotional rollercoaster. And it was fantastic. And I actually mainly watched the Germany game.
Yeah, me too.
I think the weather caused havoc as well in it. It absolute like torrential rain in Munich at one point. And it was just fantastic. The Hungarian fans were fantastic behind the goal.
Less fantastic when you find out some of the stuff they were doing behind the goal, though, with their banners and chanting.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
Okay, right, I'll take that back then. Sorry, I didn't see any of that. I don't speak Hungarian and I can't read Hungarian. So.
If you look in the news today, there's some There's some stuff about it. We won't go into it. Needless to say, it's been in the news about what the Hungarian government have done recently, and it was about that. So,
okay, yeah, fair enough. But no, fantastic. And the Germans, are there to go out, I think, and I don't think we should be scared going against them.
No, not at all. Not at all.
This is
everybody. I mean, like I said, you know, previews. Everybody says that England are scarred by tournaments against Germany. None of this England squad have ever lost to Germany in a tournament.
Yeah.
So why are they going to be scarred?
Exactly.
I don't. It's at Wembley.
There's gonna be, it's Wembley, and it's the atmosphere at Wembley that day is going to be incredible.
It's only going to be half full, but there's going to be a hell of an atmosphere in that stadium.
And there's, what, 2,000 German fans if they can get in because the quarantining rules?
Yeah, something like that.
So you're probably going to just have a couple of Germans that are, you know, but you can probably have 2,000 German fans, but they're all going to be fans that have lived in the UK for a while. So that's probably what where the 2,000 are going to get. But yeah, let's hammer them.
Should we
go into the preview for it then?
Yeah, so let's go into the preview of the second round games then. So that was the group stages. It was rubbish yesterday and it's rubbish today because there's no football on.
We had T20 cricket yesterday.
It did, but then there's no football. You know, we had what was it, 13 days of solid football, 12 days or whatever it was, of at least a football game every day, and now we've got nothing. But anyway, starting tomorrow, second round game, Wales versus Denmark in Amsterdam.
That's going to be good.
I think this is going to be a sneaky good game, and I've got a feeling that Wales are going to win.
I think Wales will win it on penalties.
Okay, on penalties. Yeah, I just think Wales are going to win. There's something about them. They're hard to beat, and they've got serious quality.
In the final third,
whereas Denmark are difficult to beat, but I'm not sure they've got the same level of quality up top.
No, Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale is definitely the fact, and Dan James as well has been fantastic for him.
Yeah, I mean, Dan James looked like a competition winner for United most of the last season, but for Wales, he's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, this is the thing. Everyone thinks, Wales will go out and play against them, attack against them. When they realise they've got players that will just suit that to the ground with Bale, James and Ramsey on the break. And then they've got the big lad, Kiefer Moore, up top, who's been, well, he's done more than Harry Kane has this year. And he's
scored
fantastic.
He scored a goal in the tournament.
Yeah. I've scored the same amount of goals as Harry Kane has in this Euros.
Yeah, well, that's a silly thing to say.
It's true, though.
It is true. I've got the same amount of Premier League winners' medals as Steven Gerrard.
So do I, funny enough. I've actually held that trophy a couple of times, so I've probably held it more times than he has.
Yeah, you definitely have, because he's never held it. The second game tomorrow, which is at Wembley, actually, is Italy versus Austria. I can't see anything other than Italy win there.
No, Italy will. Is that in Rome or
Wembley? It's at Wembley. I just said.
Oh, it's at Wembley, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at Wembley. Yeah, it's at Wembley.
Italy win.
Yeah, it's Italy win. So Sunday, we have the first game, which is Holland against the Czech Republic in Budapest. That's a game Holland. I can see go into extra time.
Yeah, I think Holland will win that one. But yeah, I think it'll be tight, but I think Holland will win it.
Yeah, I think Holland will win, but that could be a closer game than people are anticipating. And then what a treat we've got in store for us on Sunday night in Seville, yes. Belgium versus Portugal.
That'll be good.
I'm not sure about this.
I'm going to say Belgium.
I think Belgium, yeah, I think I would lean towards Belgium because Portugal, obviously, they beat Hungary 3-0. Then they lost 4-2 to Germany. Then they drew 2-2 with France.
They're open at the back a little bit.
They are. But they've got the players who can be devastating going forward.
Carrasco and De Bruyne against Semedo, I think, could be interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, so Belgium versus Portugal Sunday night is likely to be an absolute cracker. So really looking forward to that one. So on Monday at 5 o'clock in Copenhagen, this is a sneaky good game as well, I think. It's Croatia versus Spain.
Yeah, I like this one. I think... Do you know what? I'm actually going to say I think Croatia will win that.
No, I don't agree. I think Spain will win, but that's got the potential to go the distance, that game. That could be penalties.
Yeah.
That could be penalties.
Have Spain just ultimately suddenly clicked and found their form?
Or were they just playing a very, very poor Slovakia team who threw one into the net with their goalkeeper and then just fell apart?
Yeah. Yeah, potentially.
France versus Switzerland at 8 o'clock from Bucharest on Monday night.
France all day.
France are going to win that game, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see because they played okay against Germany. They weren't good against Hungary. And they weren't particularly great against Portugal either.
No. I think the French will win that. I think... Switzerland are what Switzerland are. They're a round of 16 team. Every major competition they go to, it's always round of 16.
Yeah. We'll preview England's game last, even though it's the early game on Tuesday. Yep. So at 8 o'clock on Tuesday from Hampden Park, you've got Sweden versus the Ukraine. This is Burnley versus Fulham in the Premier League of international football.
It's not a great one to end the night on, is it? I think we'll still be hopefully pissed and celebrating beating the Germans. But
Look, it's of interest to England because if they beat Germany, that's who they're going to be playing in the quarterfinals.
Exactly.
So you know, I think Sweden will win.
So do I. I to be fair, we do mock Sweden, but I do love watching Alexander Isak. And I said it before. Yeah, he's been great to watch.
You declared your love for him on the last show, so we don't need to hear you fall in love with him all over again. He's been impressive. Sweden will win that game in 90 minutes. And now we come to England versus Germany. Now, for anybody who isn't aware, England and Germany have some history in tournament football.
What were you going to say in general? I was like,
they do have history in general, but I'm talking about football. I'm not talking about wars and
politics.
So let's just go through Italia 90. England got to the semi-final of the World Cup, played Germany.
Oh, you can go much further. Well, we can go.
But I'm talking about when Germany. We can go back to 66 when England beat Germany in the World Cup final when the game was played at Wembley. You know, then England played Germany in Mexico 1970, and England were 2-0 up with 15 minutes to go in the quarterfinal and lost 3-2 after extra time to Germany in Mexico 1970. Then there were no tournament games England-Germany then until, like I said, Italia 90, when England got to the semi-final with one of our best tournament teams, Paul Gascoigne at his best, Gary Lineker... You know, David Platt was just coming onto the scene. And England hit the post twice, hit the crossbar. Germany scored the most fluky, deflected free kick you're ever going to see in your life. England equalised, took it to penalties. And very, very famously, Stuart Pearce and Chris Waddle missed penalties. And Germany went to the World Cup final to play Argentina and subsequently won the tournament. Then in 1996, when the Euros were in England, England got to the semi-finals. They beat Holland in the group stage. Sensational. England took the lead in that game in the first 5 minutes. Germany equalised. That game also went to extra time. Gazza
missed.
If his leg was an inch longer, would have tapped that into an empty net for the golden goal. That went to penalties. Very, very famously, Gareth Southgate, who's now the England manager, missed a penalty and Germany went on to win Euro 96. Then...
2010.
No. England played Germany in Euro 2000 in group stages.
We?
And England actually beat them 1-0. Alan Shearer scored and England won that game. And then the next time England played Germany in a tournament was the World Cup in 2010 in the second round. Germany went 2-0 up. And then, bizarrely, I had to look this up because I couldn't remember. Matthew Upson scored.
Upson scored. Yeah, it went 2-1.
2-1. And then just before half time, Frank Lampard had a shot from the edge of the box that hit the underside of the bar. And I'm not kidding, for people who haven't seen this, bounced 2 foot over the line. And the referee didn't give the goal. The referee and the linesman didn't give the goal. And England
went
4-1.
4-1?
It was 4-1. It was 4-1.
It would have gone 2-2. I still don't think we would have won that game.
No, I don't think we would have done, because that team wasn't very good. And Fabio Capello wasn't a great manager.
And that German team was sensational.
Yeah. It was when Ozil was actually decent, wasn't it?
Yes, but that's the competition where he burst onto the scene and signed.
Yeah, he announced himself.
Yeah.
Real Madrid.
He signed for Real Madrid that season.
So, to say England and Germany have a bit of history when it comes to football would be an understatement. Now, this...
Well, you can't forget also that we played them in qualifiers as well, you know?
Yeah, we have. So again, Germany... The last game at the old Wembley Stadium before it was knocked down was a World Cup qualifier between England and Germany. And England and Germany won 1-0, which meant Kevin Keegan got sacked resigned after that game. But then on the flip side of that, the reverse fixture, when England went to Germany, probably one of the most famous England performances ever. England went
This is the very first England game that I can remember.
Yeah, so England went 1-0 down. Very, very early in the game when you're thinking, oh, here we go, we're not going to qualify for the World Cup. Only to England for sensationally turn it around and win 5-1 in Munich, a stadium that Germany had never lost in before in a competitive game.
Beat them 5-1, and even Heskey scored.
So, yeah, there's some history between the two teams. We talked about it earlier on. I'm confident that we will beat them. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we don't.
Yeah, I'd sway on that. I think it's a 60-40 in favour of England this game.
Yeah, I think so.
Without the fans' face, I maybe would have said it's 50-50. It all depends how Gareth's going to set up this team. I know I've criticised him so much for being conservative against Scotland and... I'd go for the three at the back against the Germans, because that's what they play, match up against them. So my starting 11. Oh, this is difficult now.
Well, the goalkeeper is not difficult. The goalkeeper has played really well. Pickford has played really well.
Yeah. Would you go?
Were you going 3-5-2? I think he'll stay with the 4-2-3-1, I think. But if it was going 5 at the back, I would play Trippier on the right-hand side of...
Yeah, I'd play Trippier, and then I'd probably go Stones, Maguire, Mings.
I'd go Stones, Maguire, Shaw.
And then...
I'd play Saka left.
I was thinking
like he does, like he does for Arsenal, left wing back.
Yeah, that's where I had him. I didn't have Shaw there, but I had Mings as left side.
I would play Shaw as left defender.
Potentially, that's a good idea because he can match up with Gnabry there, I suppose.
Pace. Luke Shaw is quicker than you think.
Yeah, and Gnabry will be coming inside. He's a player to watch. Then I did go Rice and Phillips.
I don't think you can drop either of those.
And then it would be Sterling, Kane and Foden for me.
I have got a sneaking suspicion that Sancho is going to start this game. And the reason for that is because Germans are not understanding why Sancho isn't in the England team.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think they are worried about Jadon Sancho, and they'll be much happier to see him on the bench than they will to see him play. And I think Sancho's going to play.
Yeah, potentially. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, so I think that if he goes with that team that you've done with that formation, but I think he's going to stick with the four. So I think he's going to stick with Kyle Walker at right back. It'll be Stones and Maguire, and it'll be Luke Shaw, it'll be Rice and Phillips, and it'll be Sterling, Foden, Saka, Kane. I think Grealish will come out for Foden to go in. And Grealish can be your impact sub.
And so can Sancho.
Yeah.
It's weird, the Sancho thing this tournament, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is he just bottling him up to release him now in the knockouts, do you think? Or?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I said he was probably going to play, but then didn't name him in my team. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Sancho starts the game against
him. We are so lucky with what we've got in that final third.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah, no,
I think we're also very lucky at the back with some of the defenders we've got.
We looked a lot more secure with Harry Maguire back there than we did with Mings. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, is it Maguire's ball out
to Kane? Sterling? No, the ball to Kane, where Kane had the shot that the keeper saved. Brilliant pass.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
And that's the understated and underappreciated part of Harry Maguire's game. He is good with the ball at his feet and can pick and pass.
Well, this is it. This is now what centre-halves are now being asked to do now. They are your... Centre-halves are now your old-school deep-line midfielders, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what managers are now asking their centre-halves to be. Yeah. Be the players, you know, be the ones that start the move off. Don't hand it to you. Don't just a little 5-yard pass to your deep line midfielder. Push them further up the field, and you can be, as a defender, in possession of the ball, that deep line midfielder.
Yeah.
And I think we've got Stones that can do it. We've got Maguire that can do it. Mings, I'm not sure if he can do that.
Good defender, not so good with the ball at his feet.
Yep, that's why I think you've seen Ben White come into the England squad, because he's brilliant with the ball at his feet. That's why I think Cody as well also came in, because he was good with the ball at his feet. So
I forgot Cody was in the squad, to be honest.
Yeah, Cody's in the squad.
So go on then, what's your score prediction? We haven't really done score predictions on the other ones, but we'll do a score prediction on this one.
I'm going to go for Germany 1, England 5, and somehow Heskey will score.
Well, as we know, Ben's predictions have been really good this tournament. So I'm going to go England are going to win 2-0. They're not going to concede. They're going to win 2-0. There'll be nervous moments, but yeah, I'm confident and fully confident England are going to win.
So England win on penalties.
let's just jump ahead very, very quickly, because you touched on it earlier on. If England beat Germany, they are on the side of the draw that contains Holland, Czech Republic, Wales, Denmark, and Sweden, Ukraine. So if England win, they will play the winner of the Sweden and the Ukraine game in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
You saw what happened in the World Cup in 2018 when we played Sweden in the World Cup. That's as comfortable a tournament knockout game that I've ever seen England play.
Yeah.
As comfortable as I've ever seen them play. So let's just go through. So we predicted that France were going to win, and you predicted Croatia were going to win, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I said Spain. So that would be France versus Spain in my prediction, or for yours, it would be France versus Croatia.
Yeah.
The quarterfinals.
Then the French would win those.
Yeah, I think they would.
So that's the French through to the semis.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what we kind of suggesting, isn't it? And then the other quarterfinal on the other side of the group, we've both predicted Belgium to beat Austria and Italy. So Belgium to beat Portugal and Italy to beat Austria. That would be a Belgium-Italy quarterfinal.
What a game.
That would then mean it could be a Belgium-France or Italy-France or Belgium-Spain or Italy-Spain semi-final on that side of the draw.
So hard.
Yeah, and then... obviously, on England's side of the draw, we both said Holland were going to win, and we both said Wales were going to win, didn't we, I think?
Yeah.
So that would be Holland versus Wales in the quarterfinals. And I then, obviously...
Holland will win that.
Yeah, England or Germany against Sweden or Ukraine. England, Sweden. So, you're looking at England going Germany, Sweden, Holland to the semi-finals, and the Dutch-Holland game would be at Wembley, because the semi-finals at Wembley.
If we beat the Germans, it would be criminal if we did not make this final.
Yeah, something would have to go drastically wrong.
Criminal.
Yeah.
And for everyone saying, oh, we should have finished second in the group, look at it now.
Exactly. If we'd have finished second in the group, we would now be playing Spain in Copenhagen.
And then playing France in the quarterfinals, semis.
Potentially playing exactly. So
and then playing Italy in the semis. Yeah.
You know, we said it, just win your group, get a job done, get as many games as you can at Wembley and see where
don't worry about and see what happens elsewhere in the tournament.
Yeah. And see where we go. Right. Anything else to add before we finish?
No.
Nothing.
No, I think we're all good. I think I'm all good. Yeah, I think we're all good. Come on, England. Let's beat the Germans and let's crack on. Yep. It's coming home.
It is. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network. Got that wrong. Where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the very same Premier League podcast you're listening to now with me and Ben, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tigers Den. You can follow each show on Twitter, so at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, not that that account seems to be tweeting at the moment, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. You can follow us on Facebook for live streams, just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to the old-fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. I thought you weren't going to do it then.
It's coming home.
It's coming home. Say goodbye, Ben.
5-1 and even Heskey scored. 5-1 and even Heskey scored. 2 World Wars, 1 World Cup. Doo-da.
Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think we're on the run. We are the boys who will stop your little game. We are the boys who will make you think again. 'Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's done. Mr. Brown goes off to town on the A21, but he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun. So watch out, Mr. Hitler, you have met your match in us. If you think you can crush us, we're afraid you've missed the bus. 'Cause who do